Everybody, welcome to the press. It's our Wednesday show, our final show for the week. We're going to go over every tournament we haven't talked about so far this week. So that includes the LIV Golf event in Puerto Rico. That includes the LPGA event in China. That includes the Johnson Workwear Open on the DP World Tour and the Sunshine Tour. And for a hot second, we will talk about the Kolegaard Classic, which is the Champions Tour event being played this week at in Arizona, the Tucson area. So we will try to go over these as quick as we can, because there is a lot to talk about relating to these tournaments. Obviously, the Kolegaard Classic being a Champions Tour event, you're not going to get as much love for that, but we will talk about it for a few minutes here. There's also a Korn Ferry Tour event this week, which I will make one. I will talk about it for very, very briefly, but the Astara Chile Classic is this week, a Chile Classic. It's their final event on the swing through Latin America before they come back up to Lakewood, Florida, and then Savannah, and they start playing in the United States. So we'll talk about that for about 45 seconds as well. But I do want to start with the Kolegaard Classic, run through it the quickest. This tournament is being played at a new venue this year. It's been played at the same venue for like the three other years it's been played. They have moved venues this year, so we don't know as much about this golf course. And frankly, so far this season, we don't know as much about where things stand on this tour. Bernhard Langer's out of action. Steve Stricker's played well enough. Steve Alker's won. Stephen Ames has won. So the Steves are doing great. Haven't really seen as much from Patrick Harrington or Ernie Els for that matter. Richard Green is out of nowhere a guy to care about at 18-1. I think if you're looking at the field this week, I would think about a Stewart Cink at 6.5-1. Steve Stricker's a short, he's always going to be short, plus 400. Steve Alker's plus 700. You could bet two of the three Steves and probably feel pretty good. You could do a whole season of betting on Steves and Stewarts and give yourself a chance. You could throw in Stephen Ames and Stephen Alker. I'd be okay with that. You could go Stu Steve. That would be fine. Or Stu and Steven, Stu Steven Steven, the other Steven with a PH. That's all fine. Jerry Kelly's another interesting play to me at 18-1. Does seem to like desert golf, does seem to play well in those types of environments. You may want to consider like a Mark Hensby, who's had some good showings so far this year. Ricardo Gonzalez won the last event on this tour when it was in Morocco. He won, he's 65-1 this week. That's probably a one-off win, to be honest with you. That would be the way I would think of it. Kind of mildly intrigued by Rod Pampling at 70-1. Just a little bit, just enough to be worth considering a bet, perhaps. And then the other guy I want you to think about this week is Greg Chalmers. Greg, I follow Greg. We follow each other on Twitter, X, whatever it is. And he tried to get into the Puerto Rico Open. And he would have gotten in. He was the first alternate or second alternate on the list. However, he Monday qualified for this tournament. So he's playing in this one because it's a guaranteed payday. It's three rounds. And frankly, he's competing against competition that's older. These guys aren't playing regularly on the PGA Tour. He still has been, at least with some occasion. So I think this will seem like a shorter golf course for him. He has a phenomenal short game. Really, really good short game. You need that on this tour. You don't have to be especially long. If you're thinking about a super long shot, Greg Chalmers is my one and only pick this week. Otherwise, I'd stay with the Steves. Again, maybe consider a Rod Pampling, but I would say stick with the Steves and Stewarts, the S guys, and then throw in a Greg Chalmers, because I think, one, it would be a great story, but two, I think he actually has a legitimate shot to win this tournament. All right, shifting gears. Johnson Workwear Open. Co-sanctioned event in South Africa, Glendower Golf Club. It's co-sanctioned between the Sunshine Tour and the DP World Tour. This is their final event of this swing. So the winner, in terms of DP World Tour points, will get something like $200,000. So there's a big bonus on the line here. Just generally speaking, South African events, they are very difficult to predict. They don't always go how you expect that they will. But if you look at the top of the board, Tristan Lawrence is 16-1. Xander Lombard and Tom McKibben, Ewan Ferguson are all 18-1. I think if you were going to pick a couple favorites, you pick Xander Lombard and Ewan Ferguson. They're playing very well. Ewan Ferguson has become remarkably consistent. I think if you go beyond that, maybe consider an Andy Sullivan. He's been playing pretty well the last couple of times out. 40-1, worth a look, I think, at least. I would say no to that. Never mind. Maybe a Nicholas Norgaard, 60-1. Daniel Brown, 60-1. I think are worth a look. But I think this is more of a live betting opportunity. You kind of got to see who shows up and what happens. I think you can get someone from way behind, especially as we go along. Audrey Arnaas is interesting to me of late. Kind of, it's not like he's playing the best golf you've ever seen, but he did at least finally get a cash this year. And he opened the year T53 at the Dubai Invitational, which was a no-cut event, and then finally got a cash and barely got, then really was not very good on the weekend. But he was only 8 shots back in the end. So the spread from first to last was 8 shots. That's not a whole lot. So worth looking at that, I think. It is a 90-1 number, again, against kind of a weakish field. I don't know, just kind of sticks out to me a little bit. But this is a very hard tournament to bet. So I would defer to our friends who host the Lost for Words podcast. They do a great job on the DP World Tour. They would be the first kind of look I would look at there. Maybe Marcus Armitage, 50-1, worth a look there. But I would not put a lot of money to work on this tournament. Now we got the LPGA. They are at the Blue Bay LPGA. They are in China for this tournament. This is it's almost a cursed tournament, really, because they've tried to have it a bunch of different times. It's been canceled because of COVID. It's been canceled because of restrictions in China. There's all kinds of stuff kind of at work here that I think this is probably going to be the last year for this tournament. You have a decent field here. A lot of the top players who competed the last 2 weeks in those limited field events are not competing this week because there's a cut and they're tired and it's a lot of travel. So they're getting ready for the American swing leading up to the first major of the year, the Chevron. And they'll come back to California for their tournaments after this. So you've got a mixed bag field here. You've got Celine Boutier, who nearly had it last week, 8.5-1, I think is worth a play. Janet Lin, 9-1, along with Lydia Ko, Minji Lee, and Lilia Vu, or 10-1. I think Lilia Vu is worth a look. She's playing well, just hasn't quite gotten it all together yet, but she's playing well. Ayaka Faru is 12-1, I think is worth a look as well. I'd probably think about Jenny Shin a little bit at 25-1. Gabby Lopez has one here. I believe she's technically the defending champion even. 35-1. Esther Henslight, I think, is worth a look at 45-1. She's been playing pretty well, kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Other than that, I think you would do well enough to stay away from this tournament. There's just not... Maybe a Karis Davidson, 180-1. I like her game a lot. She's not playing the best golf, but I do like her game. I think if you're looking for someone to kind of come from way the heck back off the beaten path a little bit, she might be your person to think about. She doesn't have any races to CME Globe points this year. She hasn't even played this year. But what I like about her game is she ended the year pretty strongly. Look at Buick LPGA Shanghai, T8, T49, T34. So she was starting to kind of figure it out by the end of the year. And she can put up a number of good finishes. She misses. She doesn't get nearly enough playing opportunities that she probably deserves. But I think she's a long shot worth looking at. She's a good player, good young player, who could be ready to go this week. So that probably be my bomb of the week for the LPGA. Again, 108 player field. A lot of the players in the field are from China, number of amateurs or players who are up and coming through their system. So it may be 108 players, but really it's like 88. Most of those players have no chance to win this tournament. And there's a reason that they're all down at the very bottom of the ranking, the bottom of the table. Sandra Gall's in this event. So that kind of tells you a little something. It's going to be a tough week. So Karis Davidson would probably be my long play at 180-1. All right, let's talk about the Astara Chile Classic, Chile Classic. I want to say Chile because I had Chile a couple nights ago. I'll make a good Chile. Hopefully, you have a good recipe like that to check out. But anyhow, Chile Classic, last run of the swing. Tim Whiting, Mason Anderson just won last week from like eight behind in the final day. Cristobal del Solar, Alvaro Ortiz are 25-1, all of them. Sam Bennett, Ricky Castillo, Kyle Westmoreland are 28-1. Will Bateman, Ross Steelman, Jacob Solomon, Brian Campbell, Brandon Harkins, Aldrich Potgieter, all 35-1. I think I'd take Potgieter here. I have the feeling he's going to get a three-win promotion this year. He's a good player, very, very good player, and he's young. He can really go. I like his chances. Stuart McDonald's worth a look, I think, at 50-1. I really like Christopher Ventura here. He's a two-time winner on this tour. Had a decent chance last week, just didn't get done in Argentina. 50-1 is a little too deep, I think, for a guy that's been playing pretty solid golf. And then maybe a Ryan Gerard, who was a heartbeat away from having PGA Tour status last year. He's a good quality player. 65-1, I think, is worth a look. And then one other guy I'll mention, Jared Dutoit. He's a Canadian player, and he played very well in his last couple of starts in the Asian Tour. He's kind of bouncing around where he can play right now, wherever he can find it. But he was playing well in Asia against a pretty decent field over there. So I like him at 65-1 as well, taking some longer plays here. Again, the beauty of this tour, if you can somehow peg it, the favorites are almost always 20-25-1. So if you get someone just slightly off that kind of top tier, you're going to get 40-50-60-1, and you don't have to go that far down the board to get them. Problem is figuring it out. It's really hard to do on this tour, especially this early in the season when you're going from country to country. Chile and Argentina are not that dissimilar in terms of topographies and areas, but they are very dissimilar in other ways. The architecture is wildly different than what you'll see up here the rest of the year. So those would be the guys I would look at there. Now let's get to LIV Golf Hong Kong. This is, again, 54-player event. No cut, three rounds, shotgun start, all that good jazz. They're playing Hong Kong Golf Club, which was a longtime host to the European Tour and DP World Tour. And then when that relationship fell apart, it joined the Asian Tour, like right before the pandemic started. And that was, I think, the first tournament they had back after the pandemic lifted. Because the Asian Tour was on hiatus for like a year. I mean, that with all the restrictions in different parts of Asia, it was very difficult to move around. So they couldn't really have tournaments. So I think it was one of the first ones back. This is a tighter golf course. So Miguel Angel Jimenez is a guy who's challenged when he was in his late 40s, would challenge on this golf course regularly. It's not that long. It's pretty tight. It's not easy. So try to think about players who aren't necessarily just bombers. I mean, the problem with this tour, as I've talked about on my other show, Two Off the First, is there are only really like 10 guys who can win, and everybody else is frankly irrelevant. You got John Rahm at 5-1. Well, he's playing great, but it's also a really tight course, so it mitigates his skill. Joaquin Niemann, 8-1, world beater right now. I really like his chances. And pretty much any time he plays on a tighter golf course like this, I like him even more. Tyrrell Hatton, 12-1. Kind of interesting to me. He has played well in tight, nasty golf courses where it's really narrow and tough to hit the fairway. He's not playing the API this week, which he's always played very well at. Different setup, but still idea of it being tight. So that's kind of interesting at 12-1, I think. Dean Burmester, 25-1, I like a fair amount here. Charles Howell III, I like a little bit at 35-1. Same with Abe Anser, because they have played well at Mayakoba. I think there is a fair contrast to draw between Hong Kong Golf Club and Mayakoba, just watching it over the years. They're tight for different reasons, but they're still tight. They're still very intimidating off the tee. And I think those guys are worth a look for that reason. Perhaps a Peter Uihlein, who's been playing pretty well on this tour. I think that at 65-1 could be interesting to me. Lucas Herbert, same thing. Tight golf courses tends to be his thing. Played one in Japan on the DP World Tour on a tight course. One on the PGA Tour on a tight course. I think I could like him at 65-1. Charles Schwartzel finished co-runner-up last time out and is still 100-1. That's a borderline principle play of the guy. It might be, I don't know, and it might be a complete one-off. He's not been playing well, but you didn't change his odds that much from 1 week. It's the next week. Like, he's going to be riding high. I think it's worth a look at 100-1. If you're looking way down the board, if you're just curious about it, Anthony Kim's 400-1 to win. Danny Lee's 500-1 to win. I mean, there are a lot of players on this tour that just have absolutely no chance of winning. The other guy I will point out that might be of interest here, maybe Eugenio Chikara, who won in Singapore a couple years ago. So maybe he's got a... And Singapore wasn't the most wide open golf course. It wasn't the tightest, but it wasn't the most wide open. So maybe he's worth a look as well. So I think, as I've said before, I don't think long shots win on this tour. They don't tend to win on this tour. They tend to contend but not win. You tend to wind up getting the guy you expect in the end, whether that's Neiman, Hatton, Gooch. I'm cool with all that. I think this course is too tight for Bryson DeChambeau. He can't really easily overpower it, I don't think. You can prove me wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think Cam Smith's there. I don't think Brooks Koepka will care for this course. Neither will Justin Johnson. Sergio might, but Dean Burmester I like a little bit better at that 25-1 number. So maybe Burmester, Howell or Answer. Take your pick there. Maybe a U-line, but I'd probably go Herbert. And then, yeah, I think you almost have to bet Charles Schwartzel at 100-1, given he played that well last week. I know the events feel like random occurrences on LIV, but you can't tell me someone who finished second the week before and is going to feel pretty good about himself should be 100-1. So we'll go with that as well. All right, that's going to do it for us today and for the week on the show. Thanks so much for tuning into it. Appreciate it. The numbers have been growing. We've been seeing more listeners and subscribers, and that's really cool. It's cool to see a podcast take off in real time. So I really appreciate the support. If you have any questions for me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Get a hold of me on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky @RyanBallingy. You can join Golf News Net for $40 a year at golfnewsnet.com. We just put up a new tool, as I mentioned yesterday's show, strokes gained by round by tournament. I'm going to try to do this probably in the next week or two. Go back through all of the LIV Golf events and create a little database of LIV Golf finishes. Not because I think I have no idea what's going to happen in the future with LIV Golf. I really don't. But if it's going to be around, people are going to bet it. And if it's going to be around, some of their players are going to be in the majors. So it's going to behoove us to have that data for the major championships. And that's really more of the point. So we'll put that together as well. All right. Hope your bets do great this week. If they don't, at least you have a good sweat. Hopefully you enjoy the golf that you do get to watch. We'll be back with some shows next week to get you ready for the Players Championship and a busy week in golf again. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.